fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Today on the show, I am going to question the ranking of Kyle Rudolph. We are going to name our favorite offenses. We are going to breathe a sigh of relief about Sterling Shepard, but talk about Brian Tannehill and Jamie's third-year wide receiver story. It's been out on the website for a while. Let's discuss that today on Fantasy Football Today. How's that sound, everybody?
Sounds good, Adam.
Sounds like it's going to be the best Fantasy Football Today there ever has ever been.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow may be our best show ever.
It could be. It's going to be Azerless. I'll be traveling. And Dave, Jamie, and Heath are actually going to talk about Dynasty Leagues tomorrow and the best ways to set up Dynasty Leagues. So that's cool. Plus, they'll recap a PPR draft they're doing today and probably do a little more ADP review. I think that'll be a Friday staple. Who's going to win tonight, Cardinals or Cowboys?
Cardinals, easily. It's not going to be close.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? It's the Cowboys all the way.
Your pillow, because you'll fall asleep early watching that game.
I know Jamie won't.
Wouldn't the pillow back, lose?
The pillow would lose. Football is back.
Support your noggin all night.
We are happy about that. Jamie's usually up at like 2 in the morning, so I know he'll see the end of the game. All right, guys, let's get to it here. Top five offenses, and also your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com coming up later. Top five offenses. I asked you guys to think of your five favorites this year and not tell me. The only person that, well, not tell each other. Jamie told me. Jamie's going with the Patriots number one. And give me the rest of your top five. You have it, or would you like me to?
No, I still have it. What I sent you, I didn't really do this in order, but Patriots, Saints, Steelers, Packers, and Chargers.
Chargers, that's a fun one. Patriots, Saints, Steelers, Packers, Chargers. So who would be number one if it's not in order? Would it still be New England number one?
Yeah, the Patriots will be one. The Saints will be two. The Steelers will be three. The Packers will be four, and the Chargers will be five in the order I set them to.
You said they weren't in order.
Yeah, I like.
Oh, okay. There we go. Do you have a sleeper offense this year?
Buffalo.
Really?
Ooh. That is sleep-tastic.
Okay. I like it. Heath, give me your top five.
I don't know that I can necessarily disagree with any of Jamie's, except for I would put Pittsburgh number one. Not because I think they're going to have a better offense than New England. But they have arguably the number one running back and the number one wide receiver.
They also have a great schedule.
And New England, their receivers, I'm not really that interested in drafting. And their running backs, we're going to say a bunch of things about them, and then Bill Belichick's going to do whatever he wants on a week-to-week basis. So New England has the best offense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's the best fantasy offense because of how unpredictable it is.
Okay, well, that's a different contest, but I will accept it.
What was the question? The best offenses in fantasy, right?
You know what? I'll check the tape. I'll see exactly what I requested. But I like it.
If you're asking for like the highest scoring offenses in the NFL, then the Patriots would be
the
obvious
answer. Interpreted it.
I was interpreting it.
Oh, no. Top five fantasy offenses, I said. Win for Heath.
So I'll go. I listen to you, Adam.
Thank you, Heath.
I care about what you want.
Oh, then I'll go back to my original list. Jets, Browns, 49ers, Bears, and Rams.
All right, so we got the Steelers, the Patriots. Heath, who else?
I would not go with the Patriots number two either.
All right, who's two?
I'd go with the Packers number two.
Okay.
I'd go with the Falcons number three. I'd go with the Saints number four.
Come on, can we get the Patriots in the top five, please?
I'll go with the Patriots number five.
I mean, they're still going to be a very good. They've got your number one quarterback and your number one tight end, so let's not just do receivers and running backs here. All right. Sleeper?
My sleeper offense, I will go with the Tennessee Titans.
All right. Dave? Five offenses?
I'm not going to give you the five because I believe it's the same five that Heath have, which is Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Atlanta, Green Bay, and New England.
I thought you said you weren't going to give us the five.
I just did. You're right. Let me give you five sleepers. Washington, Tennessee, Oakland, Arizona, and maybe this is the sleeper of them all.
These aren't sleepers, though. These are all good offenses from a year ago.
Seattle.
Yeah, all right.
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to get up here and say the Jets are going to be an amazing unit?
How about the Giants? Like, I'm sorry, but how about the Giants?
Nobody likes the Giants.
Giants belong in the second or third group.
They're going to be the first team ever to run a two tight end,
Cincinnati,
one wide receiver
set. Cincinnati as well.
If you had to do one sleeper, Jamie's was Buffalo, Heath's was Tennessee. What's your sleeper offense?
And I'll go with Washington there.
Washington? Okay. All right. It's interesting. You know, with New England, everybody's got New England in their top five in some order.
How about nobody is Indianapolis? You know why.
Yeah. All right, fine. If there were no luck concerns, would Indianapolis be a top five fantasy offense for you?
They would not be ahead of any of the five I named, but they would be a top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. The Panthers were the number one scoring offense, I believe, in football 2 years ago, and they were not good last year. Where do you think they finished this year? They were 15th last year.
10th.
16th.
And, all right, here's my question with the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, we've kind of talked about the wide receivers, maybe the running backs. So many targets, so many players. You know, not enough footballs to go around. Do you think Gronkowski could possibly be hurt by that? Do you think his production, is, even if he stays healthy, I mean, health's always a thing with him. Do you think his production could be compromised by the addition of Brandon Cooks?
No.
Gronk?
Yeah.
No. Gronk cannot be compromised.
Well, first off, I'm surprised that you haven't, you sang today. Why don't you sing to Tom Brady today?
Is today his birthday or was yesterday his birthday?
Today is his 40th birthday.
Well, I don't have like a clever song to sing to him.
Well, do you know what Rob Gronkowski gets, got Brady for his 40th birthday?
No, a touchdown?
He says, I get him touchdowns.
I get him touchdowns. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. All right. I'll come up with Tom Brady happy birthday lyrics and I will sing them to you on the show.
I had some really good Tom Brady trivia today for his birthday.
Yeah, hit me with it.
He's one of only five quarterbacks ever with a career interception percentage below 2%.
He's how many attempts?
Excellent player.
Minimum 1,500.
1,500.
So any no concerns about Gronkowski
Adam
being
doesn't care who the five
I don't
are.
Care. Yeah. Now, you guys are actually going to talk about Tom Brady a little bit more on tomorrow's show, so I want to leave some content for you. But all right, Gronkowski. Gronkowski in 2014 and 2015 was the number one tight end in fantasy. He scored almost identical amount of fantasy points. He had about 1,150 yards and 12 touchdowns, roughly, each of those two seasons. And he did that in 2014 with Julian Edelman getting 135 targets and Brandon LaFell getting 119 targets. So he has shown that he will be the number one tight end, if healthy, even with two wide receivers getting 119 or more targets. All right, guys, some programming notes. I'm out tomorrow, as I mentioned. Dynasty talk tomorrow. Tom Brady talk tomorrow. Maybe some ADP, some PPR draft talk. I'll let Heath, Dave, and Jamie figure that out. You wanted to know about the time of our show. When are we doing it? We've been sort of like late morning, early afternoon. We're going to change that. We are going to start recording earlier, getting these out to you probably no later, published by 11 a.m. Eastern, beginning at some point next week, at least for part of next week. And then in 2 weeks, by two Mondays from now, we will be full-time morning shows out to you by 11 a.m. Eastern, and it will be wonderful. The big news, Ryan Tannehill hurt his knee in practice. He hurt the same knee last year. He sprained his ACL and MCL. He missed the last three games of the regular season, plus the playoff loss at Pittsburgh, and was playing pretty well at the end of the year. So, you know, we probably made a little bit of a mistake yesterday reacting to Sterling Shepard leaving in tears, and he has a low ankle sprain, and it doesn't seem serious, so we shouldn't do the same thing with Tannehill, but what
the
if...
The video looks terrible.
I know, but we thought that about Mr. Shepard.
No, Shepard, all we saw was him crying on the sideline.
And getting carted off. That's bad side. This is bad.
I think
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yes, it's this seems worse, but we could find out tomorrow it's not. It's been a bad run for the Dolphins. Ajayi can't practice because of concussions. Tannehill, who knows? There was a report or a tweet today from somebody that's been at the Jason Leiser, who said Mike Pouncey has done 30 minutes of individual work so far this camp.
Yeah, they're definitely keeping him in a bubble.
Well, what is your reaction here if Tannehill misses time? Jarvis Landry is currently a third-round pick in PPR leagues for a lot of us, definitely by the fourth round in a 12-team league. Where's Jarvis Landry going? I guess I should give out some stats just real quick, because Matt Moore's the backup, and he did a pretty nice job when he filled in for Tannehill last year. And Jarvis Landry, in four games without Tannehill, three regular season, one postseason, he had three huge games, 108 yards and a touchdown, 76 yards and a touchdown, 102 yards and 11 catches. So there was that. Kenny Stills did well without Tannehill. Devontae Parker did not. And Jay Ajayi had one monster game, two bad games, one average game. So tell me, if Tannehill's out for an extended period of time, when are you taking Jarvis Landry in a PPR league?
Around the same spot.
I don't really feel like there's a huge gap in talent between Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore.
The thing
about Matt Moore is that he'll take more chances.
But is that it helps? That, it helps that help Landry, big guys? Or does that help the outside guys?
It helps the outside guys. But the one thing I heard this from one of the beat writers for the Dolphins on a local radio interview, that Adam Gase is such a player's coach. He went out of his way last year to get Kenny Stills targets in a contract year. And he's probably going to do the same with Jarvis Landry in a contract year. Not that that's saying much because he's so heavily involved, but I don't think they're going away from anybody with the quarterback change. I don't think anything changes. Like he said, there's really not that much of a drop off.
Unless they don't want Jarvis Landry anymore. They'll keep him for this year and use him, but then maybe they think that they can replace him.
That's dumb.
It sounds pretty stupid, but what Landry does is he's a good hands man who works the slot.
No, he's a great hands man. He's an NFL record breaking hands man. He and Odell
because
Beckham,
he gets the opportunities to do
of
it.
Their career, set the NFL record for catches for players in their first three
That's
seasons.
Fine. How many highlight reel catches has Jarvis Landry made compared to Odell
Oh, he's
Beckham?
Not a number one guy. But
right.
That's what he's going to ask
to get paid as.
Not necessarily.
Well, then maybe they've worked out some parameters, and then at that point, Gase will just say, all right, do your thing. I don't know if I'm not convinced that he's going to do that for Landry like he did for Stills.
Well,
I also think he had to do it for Stills because otherwise that offense was missing a pretty important dimension.
Well, going back to the is there a big drop off from Ryan Tannehill to Matt Moore? It does not seem like you guys are answering that. Yes, it seems like you don't think there is much of a drop off.
No.
Tannehill's a pretty mediocre starting quarterback.
I think I have to disagree. But a mediocre starting quarterback is better than a backup quarterback. I don't know. That would scare the crap out of me.
There's a reason that they've kept Matt Moore around.
Yeah.
And prior to last year, too.
He's one of the best backups. I don't think he's, like, I sent out some stats today. Ryan Tannehill's career numbers are pretty similar passing-wise to Colin Kaepernick.
Tannehill is, he's a pretty average quarterback, but, like, I don't know. Like, Landry Jones has been on the Steelers for 4 years. He sucks. You know?
But they're not paying Landry Jones like the Dolphins are paying Matt Moore.
Okay. All right. You know what? We'll see what happens. Hopefully we will get good news, and you guys can talk more about it on tomorrow's show. And that actually is a good transition into Jamie's third-year wide receiver story. This is something that Jamie always keeps an eye on. He likes guys to break out in their third year, and Devontae Parker is one of the guys. I did mention that Parker suffered the most of the three receivers without Matt Moore, without Ryan Tannehill last year. He scored 14, 4, and 5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 4 games without Tannehill. So if there is a Tannehill injury, we go into the third-year receivers, Jamie. Would that affect how you feel about Devontae Parker? The reports have been great. Seems like he's always ready to take that next step. We're waiting for it. Give me your thoughts there on Devontae Parker.
Yeah, it wouldn't change. I mean, he's still... I think right now I have him ranked as a number three receiver. I'll keep him there. I think there's the nice thing about Matt Moore that's different from Tannehill is the shots downfield. You'll get more opportunities down the field. Tannehill is going to be more of a check down guy than Matt Moore is. He has that, you know, what you would call gunslinger mentality.
He's got the YOLO mentality. And the thing that I like about Devontae Parker and what I've read so far is that he's taking practice more seriously.
Everything, diet.
Yeah, everything. He's taking everything more seriously, and it's paying off.
Yeah, everything that they've criticized him on for two years seems to have been corrected. Whether that translates to his production on the field remains to be seen. But you know, the spot that you're drafting him, I don't know exactly what his average draft position is. I can tell you right now, but it's in that 7-8 range in standard scoring. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, he's got a lot of upside. Would you rather have John Brown or Devontae Parker?
Parker. Or Brown. Sorry,
wow.
Brown. I don't know what happened there.
Freudian slip?
I would rather have Brown still.
I would too.
Would you rather
have... And a lot of that has to do with quarterback.
Yeah, okay. Parker or Corey Coleman?
Parker.
Okay.
I'm going to say Coleman.
It's funny, the average draft position, the guys you mentioned, because right now it's Parker, Coleman, Brown in order.
Oh, I didn't know about... I saw that Coleman. I didn't see that Brown was going... that range.
Now, Brown is obviously rising quickly, but maybe his hamstring injury keeps him down a little bit.
All right, so what's the philosophy behind the third-year wide receiver breakout that you like to talk about, Jamie, just for the new listeners that don't know the theory?
Just from the guys that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot of guys from Jerry Rice to Michael Irvin, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, who actually does not believe in the theory, but just to give you somebody on the other side of it. I spoke to Willie Snead this offseason about it, who's entering his third season. And Mike Evans, who just came off a third-year breakout. The thing that they all say is that first year is just like deer in headlights. Now, granted, we have the Odell Beckham season, we have the Bolden season, but a lot of it is rapport with quarterback, understanding routes, understanding route tree, and just knowing where to go on the field. And so you tend to see guys that kind of build toward this season of their career, whether it, you know, happens for a lot of these guys or not. You know, this is just kind of like you look at guys and how they start to progress. So like, I think you look at Stephon Diggs, his progression. You look at, I don't know, Snead's fair because he kind of had a little bit of a downturn. Parker, not necessarily the same thing, but somebody like Cameron Meredith, who didn't really do much as a rookie, big step second year, could be huge in his third season. So it's hopefully, like for Cooper, for example, you know, we talk about Cooper and the red zone production. Maybe he learns how to be a better red zone receiver, and that's the next step for him. So there's just another, you know, level that these guys can potentially get to. And the ones that do take that step, it typically sets them off for greatness.
Yeah, Amari Cooper was the number 4 overall pick in the NFL draft in 2015. Huge recruit, Alabama, great player. I mean, this guy came into the NFL, and rightfully so, a lot of people felt like he was going to be the next superstar wide receiver. Do you guys think there's a chance that happens this year with Amari Cooper? Massive season enters the discussion with the very, very elites.
Yes. I think it's more likely that he finishes inside the top 12 than finishes outside of it.
But that's not really massive, though.
You right, want him to finish on the cusp, in that top 5.
He was on the cusp of that last year. Was it 14, 13, 14, whatever it was?
14, yeah. But so, yes, I also think there's a chance he jumps into the top 5.
I think for that to happen, it's just the touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And the Crabtree factor, he's a good receiver, and he's good in the red zone. Crabtree, that is. He's good inside the 10. So the list that Jamie has, Cooper, Snead, Crowder, Diggs. Cooper, Snead, Crowder, Diggs. Parker, Cameron Meredith, Tyrell Williams, J.J. Nelson, Rashad Perryman. We can stop there for now. You know, I said a lot of names. Dave, why don't you weigh in? Who on this list do you think is most likely to take a huge step this year?
A huge step? Adam, a lot of these guys have already taken big steps.
Yeah, right.
No, that's the thing. So I think it's relative to the guy. And with that being said, I think DeVante Parker is the one who has the biggest jump in store. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to end up with the most yards and the most touchdowns. But we're talking about what were his numbers last year? Wasn't that much. And he definitely has potential in this offense, even without Ryan Tannehill, to get close to 1,000 yards and certainly plenty of touchdowns.
Yeah, I'd like to look up DeVante Parker's numbers, and I just did, but I always spell his first name wrong. He had 56 catches.
744 and 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Willie Snead, there's a huge opportunity, you know, and I know we've talked about him a lot. We like him. And first two games of the season, Willie Snead was awesome last year. And then he hurt his toe, and Michael Thomas stepped in and took over. Cooks is gone. Snead steps up. The question is, will Snead, for me, is also touchdowns. Will Snead be a good touchdown guy? He had 4 touchdowns on 104 targets. Can he get more than 6 touchdowns this year, Willie Snead?
More than 6? Absolutely. More than 8? I don't think so.
I think more than 6 could be difficult.
Well, it'd be difficult.
I would say that's the number you're looking for.
Is 6.
Yeah.
6.
1,006?
I go
that's
over,
a number
I go
that
I've...
I,
the yards, but.
That's what I wrestle with Snead, is can he get to 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns?
I mean, you know, dissect it as much as you want to. Adam just referenced it, but Thomas, rookie receiver, good preseason. Heath was fond of him in the preseason. Obviously, good pedigree at college. Snead, before he hurt his toe in the first two games, 17 targets, 14 catches, 226 yards, and 2 touchdowns from Breeze. Hurts his toe in the second game, misses week 3, and then he falls behind Thomas in terms of a preferred target for Breeze, understandably so. And Snead told me, I played with that toe injury all season. It was never right. Now he's 100%. Now the opportunity is there. Now he's in a contract year. Now Brandon Cooks is gone. You couldn't ask for a better scenario than what this guy is stepping into with the quarterback that he has in the offense that he plays in.
Yep.
I don't see a situation, forget about player, but situation that is maybe better than what he's walking into.
I got to go back and watch him. I think it's only fair. I have to do the exact same thing that I did with Jamison Crowder.
Watch the first two games because that's the guy that you're looking
for. I wasn't a huge fan of Crowder coming into the offseason, and then you watch him do everything, and you're blown away, and it makes perfect sense that the Redskins did what they did by letting DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon walk out the door, specifically DeSean Jackson, because I think Crowder can replace a lot of that and also still retain his role as the slot guy. I want to go back and look at Willie Snead and see if he can do the same thing. I'm putting that on my list of things.
And I don't think this guy will get to Snead's level, but he could pass Parker, and it would be a bigger leap because he wasn't as good as Parker last year, and that's J.J. Nelson. The last three games last year, he had 30 targets, about 240 receiving yards, scored a touchdown in four of his last five games. They've got Larry Fitzgerald, who I still like a lot, but he's 33 years old. They've got John Brown, who I'm really excited about, but he's had a lot of injuries. If either of those guys go down, Nelson's going to get a ton of targets, and he's got some upside.
Yeah, and actually, I just for Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper's the best player on this list. Cooper, Snead, Crowder, Diggs, Devontae Parker, Cameron Meredith, Tyrell Williams, J.J. Nelson, Rashad Perryman. I actually have Cooper, we call them 14th at wide receiver last year. It depends on what you're looking at. If you look at decimal scoring, he was actually tied with Crabtree as the 11th best wide receiver, but separated by 2 points from number 14. And the reason why I bring that up is because number 14 was Tyrell Williams. We've already seen a huge year from Tyrell Williams. We know Mike Williams is already banged up. Jamie had the Chargers as one of his top five offenses for fantasy. And I think what Tyrell Williams did last year was really impressive. 15.35 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns. 1,059 yards. Maybe he's just scratching the surface and could get even better.
Doing that again with Keenan Allen.
I was going to say, I have a hard time. That's the problem I have with him being a breakout, is I think he's going to be worse than he was a second.
Here's the thing. So I tiered this by starter, potential starter, third year or number three receiver with upside, and then late round flyer and maybe these guys. So I have five tiers of these guys. And I put Williams Parker and
Meredith
in the same spot. And in saying it, I put their breakout potential. Like for Meredith, I say it's high. For Parker, I say it's above average. For Williams, his breakout potential is low.
Right.
Because it would take Phillip Rivers either completely ignoring everybody else for him to just be what he was last year. And last year he was great.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So he couldn't get much better than that. But it was if you just look at the raw numbers, 1,050 yards and 7 touchdowns, and forget that he finished 14th because it was a bit of a down year for wide receivers.
And just to give him some credit, he played through a shoulder injury for probably the last 4 or 5 games. I don't remember exactly when he got hurt. But that's a part of it, is that he still did this while he was injured. His numbers definitely tailed off when he got hurt, but he was still very good.
Yeah.
For the majority of the time he was there. We talk about late-round flyers. In our 2014 league, I remember saying to Dave, I'm actually excited that I drafted Tyrell Williams. This was before Keenan Allen got hurt, and he was one of the last players that I took, and I did that in a couple leagues just because I remember Pete Prisco telling me, hey, they're really excited about Tyrell Williams out there.
Yeah, and
they still are, too. Rivers talked him up at the Pro Bowl, said he's got size and speed that you just can't coach.
But that was before they drafted Mike Williams, too.
And my initial reaction when they drafted Mike Williams was that was a shot at Keenan Allen, not at Tyrell Williams. And I wonder if that could end
up. Very well could be.
I wonder if, I mean, it could be good for Keenan Allen that Mike Williams could miss his rookie year and that Tyrell Williams is going to have this big role anyway.
Okay, well, look, if you want to read more about these guys, Tyrell Williams, Cameron Meredith, some players we haven't talked about like Perryman, Tyler Lockett, Kevin White, Devin Funchess, check out the story. It's on CBSSports.com. If you go to CBSSports.com/fantasy and then you click on fantasy football, you scroll down on the page, there is so much content. It's going to really help you get set for your drafts, as will this podcast. So make sure you check that out. And I cannot wait for this weekend, guys. I'm going to show off my awesome Indochino suit this weekend at a wedding. I will actually be showing up the groom because I will be the best dressed man there. Gentlemen, you need an Indochino suit. Promo code FFT at checkout at Indochino.com. Indochino.com. 50% off. 50% off. Huge deal. You know, I was listening to the Jonah Carey podcast. Not sure if any of you out there listen. It's now part of CBS Sports. Great show. Jonah was talking about Indochino, and I could tell how much, just by his read, I could tell how much he genuinely loves his Indochino suit. It really is that awesome to have a suit that fits you perfectly. A made-to-measure premium suit. You customize every detail, the collar, the monogram, the jacket lining, the sleeves, the pockets. It's yours. It's unique. You will love it. You will look great in it. You will feel great in it. How much does it cost? These things can run you a lot of money, but not at Indochino, not with our offer code. Any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com with the promo code FFT at checkout. 50% off the regular price. Shipping is free. Indochino.com, promo code FFT for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. Let's play a game called Convince Me. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong about something, and you're going to have to convince me otherwise.
This is a game you invented, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you sure?
I get it. Yeah, that was weird. So, okay. Anyway, convince me that Kyle Rudolph really is a top seven tight end. I'm just not convinced. And I will say that you're going to give me one argument. You're going to give me many, but there's one in particular that I actually think is a great argument that I didn't realize at first, and I'm going to go, yeah, you're right about that. But other than that, I'm just not convinced. Convince me, Kyle Rudolph, top seven tight end.
He had a breakout year last year because he worked in an offense where the quarterback has a tendency to lean on the tight end, and the play caller for the last nine games of the season likes to lean on the tight end. And Kyle Rudolph has started to realize his potential as a big Gronk-esque type of tight end for the past several years in Minnesota. He didn't really get those same kind of opportunities. He got it last year. He will help open up things on the outside for Thielen, for Diggs, for Laquon Treadwell, and for the running backs there. He also helps the offensive line in a way, because that offensive line didn't do a good job blocking. It meant Sam Bradford had to get rid of the ball quickly. Boom, there's a giant 6'6" tight end that he could hit over the middle. And I think that's going to continue this year, because I'm not convinced that the Minnesota offensive line will be that much better than it was. He's going to be a red zone threat week in and week out, just as he was last year. And his last name is Rudolph, the purple-helmeted Viking.
Anyone else, or does that suffice?
Mine is more simple, because there's nobody else behind him in the rankings that's better than him.
Yeah, I disagree.
There's nobody else on the team that catches touchdowns.
The argument that I never really considered with Rudolph, I haven't liked him, you know, for fantasy, where he's been going since the end of last season, all the offseason shows we've done, is the fact that Sam Bradford likes his quarterback and Sam Bradford likes his tight end, and Dave also mentioned the play caller and his role in the offense. Like, that helps. I just, like, he led the position in targets last year.
That's a good thing.
I don't think it's going to happen again. I don't think you can bank on that. And here's this stat. I looked at the last 5 years of tight ends who had 120 more targets, 120 or more targets. Rudolph had 132 last year, I think.
Yep.
Only one out of 11 tight ends in the last 5 years finished with fewer fantasy points than 2016 Kyle Rudolph in standard or PPR.
I agree. He's going to finish with fewer fantasy points this year.
And it was also a down year for tight ends last year, which is why it helped him finish fourth in standard and second in PPR. I just think, like, if his targets go down closer to 100 from 132, you're in trouble. And I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't see it with him. He needs to have a ton of targets. I'm not sure I'm going to bank on that.
So the guys that are ranked after him that you would take are who?
I would take, in PPR, I would take Ertz. I would take Eifert, and I would take Hunter Henry.
In PPR?
No, in standard, I would take Henry. Probably I'd go Rudolph in PPR. So here's the thing. I honestly don't know that I have a problem with Rudolph being sixth behind the big five. I just think that there is such a big drop in tier from the five to everyone else that if Rudolph is the next tight end off the board, I feel like it's a mistake. I feel like you should let someone else take Rudolph and then you wait like three more tight ends or whatever and you get the last guy in the tier.
Yeah, I think generally Eifert's going well ahead of Rudolph.
And, yeah, I mean, if you were to say that Eifert's going to play 13-plus games, he should outperform in standard scoring. In PPR, it's probably going to be a little bit closer because Rudolph should catch more passes. But ADP is not reflecting the way we have it ranked by far.
No.
Because right now it's the five that you alluded to. Eifert is six. Walker is seven. Mm. Martellus Bennett is eight.
Oh.
Hunter Henry is nine. And then Rudolph is 10. Now, clearly you can make an argument for all four of those guys, Eifert, Walker, Bennett, and Henry, being better than Rudolph, given Rudolph's track record prior to last year. But there's also a lot of flaws with those four guys as well.
And then, like, the argument of Rudolph's targets, I don't think he's going to get 132 again this year. I understand that. But Zach Ertz needed 106 targets to score 20 less fantasy points last year. And that team went out and added Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. Minnesota added Michael Floyd.
A shoulder injury, a back injury, and
yeah.
Oh, like, those guys.
Like, Ertz isn't getting 106 targets this year.
I would say it's more likely that Ertz gets 106 than Rudolph gets 132.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
I would say that Rudolph's going to get more targets than Ertz.
Yes. But, well, actually, I think it's probably going to be close.
I think
who's getting all the extra targets in Minnesota?
Well, Diggs missed, what, three games last year?
Three games.
Thielen really wasn't part of the offense in the early part of the season. And now they have two guys that can catch the ball in the backfield, and Cook and McKinnon.
Yeah, Cook. I think it's
easy to chop off 30 targets if Thielen's more involved and Treadwell's better.
What I realized was that with that stat that 11 tight ends had 120 or more targets over the last 5 years, and only one of them scored fewer fantasy points than Rudolph, it really put his season in perspective. And I actually don't really have that much of an issue with where you have him ranked. I'm more just creating content to have a discussion about Kyle Rudolph. I just think he's going to be part of a group of tight ends where the order is going to be pretty random. I don't see how he is clearly better than anyone. I don't see how he's clearly better than anyone. In the 6 to 12 range, put it that way.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I'm not going to take
guys are being drafted ahead of him.
I'm not going to be taking Kyle Rudolph. My position?
Your point was that we shouldn't draft him first after that group of five. You should wait and let somebody else draft him.
Yeah.
But all those guys are being drafted before him, and he's the one that's left, and then we're drafting him.
No.
So isn't that what you're saying we should do?
Well, none of us have – I'm not going off ADP right now because I know that we don't think Delanie Walker or Martellus Bennett deserve to be drafted ahead of Kyle Rudolph. I'm talking about Hunter Henry. I'm talking about Zach Ertz. I'm talking about Tyler Eifert, who you guys, for the most part, have Rudolph ahead of. Like, I'd rather just wait on those guys and let someone else take Rudolph.
Yeah, I think those guys will be taken before Rudolph
because they're flashier.
Yeah. Rudolph will go after those.
They've got a lot more potential. I don't think Kyle Rudolph has a prayer of getting, 1,000 yards. He came close to 900 yards last year. I don't think he can get there either. And he's certainly touchdown dependent, but that's what tight ends are if you're not getting one of those first five.
Right.
And I'll add this point. We've talked about a lot of tight ends, mainly Rudolph, but also Eifert, Ertz, Henry, Walker, Bennett. If you've just listened to the last 5 minutes and you don't like any of the names you've heard, congratulations. You need to find yourself one of those first five tight ends on draft day. You've got to make it a priority to go and get them.
Or you can wait.
Yeah. Or you can wait.
Ebron, right, Doyle.
Yeah, but like again, that, though, it's all relative to where you're getting these guys. Like if Adam, you say you're not taking Kyle Rudolph. I don't know if 88 is the right spot for him. But if drafts are following average draft position and you're sitting there and you see, because I know you like Hunter Henry. Let's see, this is where it's all weird because Hunter Henry's overall is lower than Rudolph's.
Yeah.
But if, let's just say this is the order and it goes Eifert, Walker, Bennett, Henry, and you can't get Henry, and Rudolph and Ertz are kind of in the same spot, somebody takes Ertz ahead of him, you're not going to settle for Rudolph at that spot?
Yeah, I'll settle for him.
Right. I think with all those, that's probably the best way to say it. You're settling through from six through 10.
Except I would be a little more excited to draft Eifert and Henry.
I don't know about the Henry thing at all. He got like 35 passes last year.
as a rookie, we poo-poo rookie tight ends all the time, and he did a really nice job.
Right, but Antonio Gates still didn't retire, and Keenan Allen's back.
Yeah, I know. It is a crowded situation, I guess. I understand skepticism there. I get that argument.
I think it's the talent.
Oh, I love the talent.
Right.
He's my number three tight end in dynasty.
Your concern is the opportunities, yeah. And in fantasy football, you can like a talent as much as you want. It's the opportunities that matter.
Yeah.
That's why I'm ninth.
All right. Good discussion. Hope it helped. Let's talk about the injuries, news, and notes. But before we move on, I do need to talk to you all about something very important. That would be home security and Simply Safe. A lot of us get excited for summer because it means going on vacation. You know what gets a burglar excited for summer? Knowing you'll leave your house empty. Now is the time to protect your home. For a limited time, you can take a whopping $100 off Simply Safe Home Security's special summer package. Simply Safe has everything you need to protect your home. There are no long-term contracts, no installation costs, and no hidden fees. That's pretty rare, and that's really awesome. And Simply Safe's 24/7 professional monitoring is just $14.99 a month. So get $100 off your summer security package at simplysafe.com/FFT. Hurry, this sale ends very soon. simplysafe.com/FFT for $100 off. That's simplysafe.com/FFT. And I'll just tell you that simplysafe.com is spelled with an I, simply, simplisafe.com/FFT. Huge discount there. Please take advantage of it. It's important stuff. All right, the news and notes for you here. So Jay Ajayi is in the concussion protocol, pardon me. I'm just going to give you all the running back notes and you tell me what stands out. Mark Ingram has been active in the Saints passing game, according to ESPN. That was a big part of his value last year for Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. Detroit running back coach David Walker said Amir Abdullah is their guy, and Theo Riddick has his little pass-catching role. CSN Bay Area says Carlos Hyde appears set as the starter, and Joe Williams is off to a slow start, and James Conner has a sprained AC joint and will be back soon. So notes on Ajayi, Ingram, Abdullah, Hyde, and Steelers backup running back James Conner.
There's one more from today that's probably the most important. DeMarco Murray missed time with a hamstring injury.
They say it's minor.
Yeah, I think there's two more for today because there's also a Washington Post report. It's clear that Rob Kelly will be number one back.
Yeah, there was a well. First on Murray, yes, it seems to be just a tweak. But anytime you get a guy that's going to be 29 that hurts his hamstring when there's a pretty prominent guy behind him, probably worth mentioning. And before the Washington Post, did you guys see what Gruden said the other day about P. Ryan and pass protection as fumbles?
Yes, not good. Yes.
Yeah. So I moved P. Ryan behind Kelly.
Okay.
And Kelly's going much later in a lot of drafts than P. Ryan is, so huge value.
It's
right
going to be crowded. Chris Thompson is going to be in the mix too.
Why don't you guys do risers and fallers tomorrow? I think that would be a good idea. End of the week,
got
catch
it.
People up. Yeah. All right, cool.
We'll do.
What do you make of the Carlos Hyde set as the starter, Joe Williams off to a slow start report from CSN Bay Area?
Yep.
It's a positive. It makes me wish we could have drafted Carlos Hyde over the last 2 weeks in leagues that mattered, but all the leagues that matter happen closer to the start of the season.
But what's really changed, though?
What do you mean what's really
It's
changed?
The way it always should have been. We just didn't know if they were going to be...
Well, I mean, think about what the headlines were about Carlos Hyde during the offseason versus now.
But none of those headlines ever said that he wasn't going to be the starter. It's still going to be...
Are you kidding? We all intimated that it meant that Carlos Hyde wasn't going to be
the
starter.
No, there was talk that they were going to cut him. And they were, we joked about them trying to trade him.
There was that period of time around the draft where they did to say that they were going to look to move him. But once they had their backfield in place, he was always taking first-team reps.
Tim Hightower did on
He did
Sunday.
One day in camp.
Yeah.
But that's the part of... To me, nothing's really changed. Hyde is the best guy there. They're going to share the ball, though, with these guys.
There will be two guys.
Maybe three. And Juszczyk.
Juszczyk's going to catch a lot of passes.
Could Juszczyk be the second guy? How's that for an interesting
I don't think he's the second guy per se. I think he's the fullback. I mean, he's going to catch the ball.
You don't pay a fullback as much money as
he was the highest paid back
ever
this season.
Ever.
Well,
he was the highest paid back, period. Right.
Right.
And also the highest paid fullback.
I don't know that he gets more than 10 carries.
Oh,
but
over the season?
What do you have last year? 8?
I I'll take the over on 10 carries.
But he might catch 20? 50 passes.
I think I don't take the over on 20. He could catch 40 passes.
Oh, I think that's low.
He's got great size and good hands.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're drafting right now, Carlos Hyde or Joe Mixon?
Mixon.
I'm still taking Mixon.
Do I believe that Carlos Hyde can total 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns? Like, I think Mixon falls just shy of those yards. I think I'm going to take Mixon.
I've downgraded Mixon just a little bit with Gio Bernard being healthy.
And you'll still take him ahead of Hyde?
I think so. It's really, man, I'm conflicted.
It's funny because, like, Hyde's in a timeshare. Mixon's in a timeshare. Mixon's team clearly has a little bit more backing behind him than
Mixon
Hyde's
might
does.
Have a worse offensive line.
Yeah, he might.
He might.
But he's more of a dual threat than Hyde is.
I'm going with Hyde.
Hyde has proven to be injury prone.
Changing the rankings there?
No, I was trying. The reason I was delaying is because I was trying to find the rankings. Okay. I knew I had them in the same place. But yeah, I'm going with Hyde.
Okay. Carlos Hyde or CJ Anderson?
Anderson.
I'm not that excited about Anderson, but I am double checking my rankings to make sure that I have Hyde ahead of him.
Yeah, I actually am excited about Anderson. I think everything coming out of Denver is very positive for him.
Okay. All right, and the Amir Abdullah news, look, this is part of – I think we expect him to be the feature back, but 200-ish carries, that was the report we had earlier. I don't know much changed with Abdullah.
No, I expect about 200 carries, which is probably in the same range as somebody like Mixon.
Oh, gosh, that schedule, that beginning schedule for the Lions is just awful. And it scares me a little bit. I'm just pulling it up here. Arizona at the Giants, Atlanta at Minnesota. First 4 weeks could be tough. And
I don't think anybody gave up more fantasy points to running backs last year than Atlanta.
But we expect them to be better, right?
Atlanta might be their easiest opponent in their first 5 games.
Yeah.
I like the run. I like Atlanta's defense because I think they're going to make a lot of big plays. I don't think they're going to be shutting teams down offensively.
No, but they do. They added some beef to that D-line, and they could push around that offensive line for Detroit, especially if Decker's not there.
Yeah,
Robinson,
but the interior of
the
Detroit offensive line should be good.
I think it should be good. I don't know if it's going to – I think Atlanta's defensive line could actually be the strength of that defense.
Well, even if it's one good matchup in the first 5 weeks, that's not very encouraging for Abdullah.
No, it's not. Not to mention the fact that they said Riddick's going to have his role. Guess what that role includes? Red zone. Goal line. It drives me crazy. They don't want Amir Abdullah fumbling.
If he's healthy, though, he's getting 200 carries.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is he going to get 1,400 total yards?
No.
Because that's the type of number to overcome.
No. But that's asking a lot, though.
That's a lot.
That's why you can't draft him.
In the sixth round? Yes, you can.
In the sixth round? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Abdullah in the sixth round? Yeah, that sounds fair. You don't have to get 1,400 total yards to warrant sixth round pick,
ADP is 63 overall.
All right, guys, wide receiver news. Sterling Shepard has a sprained ankle, so it looks like he dodged a bullet. Will Fuller is out 2 to 3 months with a broken collarbone. Will Fuller was so damn good the first 4 weeks last year, 107 yards and a touchdown, 104 yards, then 31 yards at New England, then 81 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, right? 81 yards and a touchdown. Then he should have retired. Fuller did not score more than 6 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues at all the rest of the season. But he's a talented guy. He also would have been good in leagues that reward punt return yards. Out 2 to 3 months. Is this significant? Does this affect DeAndre Hopkins?
It helps him.
I agree.
Okay.
I think DeAndre Hopkins could see a bump in targets now. A lot of other people will see a bump in targets.
Helps Fedorowicz.
But the deep ball target specifically could go to Nuke.
Corey Davis has a hamstring injury. Do we know about the severity of it?
I mean, he was helped off.
MRI.
I don't know if he was helped off. I think he walked.
He went to get an MRI.
He's getting an MRI.
Not great.
Right after he's been making great plays in practice. Hopefully his news is like Sterling Shepard's and not like Will Fuller's.
Definitely helps Eric Decker, who's still going to lead them in receptions. And helps Rashard Matthews.
Is Mike Wallace Baltimore's number one wide receiver?
Duh.
No.
Like, haven't we talked about this like 6 times already?
No, I kept teasing it, but we haven't actually talked about it. There was a report that seemed to indicate they were changing his role a little bit, and Mike Wallace was being treated as the number one receiver foolishly. I added the foolishly. That wasn't part of
was
the report.
Was the author on the report Heath Cummings from June of 2017?
No, him being your favorite is different, I'd say. You know what I'm saying.
No matter what you think of his fantasy-wise, that's a terrible team if he's their number one receiver.
I don't know. Yeah.
He's been on three different teams, and everybody calls him a one-trick pony.
I don't know why we just act like Mike Wallace is bad at football.
Nobody says he's bad at football.
Is he going to be – he's ultra-productive for fantasy purposes.
He'll have 1,000 yards?
Maybe.
Under. Under?
You know what I don't get, Heath? Why is it that your allegiance is to Mike Wallace and not the former chief, Jeremy Maclin? This is what confuses me.
I think that's why.
Jeremy Maclin is coming off of an injury. Mike Wallace has had just as many 1,000-yard seasons as Jeremy Maclin. They scored touchdowns at a pretty similar rate. Mike Wallace has had one season ever where he wasn't a top 30 wide receiver.
Okay. Alrighty, and tight end news. Jordan Reed has no further damage in his toe, but still no timetable for a return for Jordan Reed. I looked it up just for kicks, what he averaged in PPR and points per game over the last three seasons to compare it to Rob Gronkowski to see just how close they were. And they actually pretty damn close the last 2 years. In fact, Reed's been better on a per-game basis over the last 2 years than Gronkowski. That being said, it's a little deceiving. 2 years ago, Reed actually was better than Gronkowski on a per-game base, just a little bit better per game in PPR. Last year, he was a lot better than Gronkowski, but not Brady Gronkowski. If you take out the four games that Brady missed, it's not close. Gronkowski much better. Obviously, nobody thinks Reed is better than Gronk. Just thought you'd be interested in that useless research. The Chargers' rookie offensive guard and second-round pick Forrest Lamp is out for the season with a torn ACL. How big of a deal is this?
I don't like this. It makes me sad because one of the reasons I liked Melvin Gordon is because that offensive line for the Chargers was going to be improved, and Lamp, I thought, was going to be a part of that. And with him out, we're talking about Dan Feeney, who was another rookie they drafted, who's not a bad player, but he's not as good as Lamp, or seemingly as reliable as Lamp would be, could fit into that right guard spot. And it puts a little more pressure on veteran Matt Slauson to stay healthy. A little bit more concerned about the center spot for LA. I don't think that line, I think it takes a hit. And now the question is it enough of a hit to hurt Melvin Gordon, who needed a good offensive line in order to average more than 3.9 yards per carry toward the end of last year?
Yeah, but he was still good last year with a worse offensive line.
I'm sorry.
The 3.9 number is really tough to peg to these feature guys that get a lot of work at the goal line.
That's a good point, and he got a lot better second half of the season. I am really cracking up at a tweet from Heath. I went on Twitter to look up an update on DeForest Buckner, the 49ers defensive lineman who hurt his leg, and I see first edition of 2017, believe it or not, coming out later today, and this wonderful gif of George Costanza, believe it or not, sitting there, what is he, eating popcorn?
Song's been in my head all day long.
Oh, man, that is great. You are a hell of a tweeter. Yesterday, your tweet about Chris Towers and his baseball rankings, I lost it. That was the train.
I appreciate that. I'm just glad. I'm sorry that San Diego is having his injury problems, and I never want anyone to get hurt. But
how about LA?
I think this helps my chances of not eating crow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, we had an email about that. Yes. We had an email about eating crow. Did I put it in the notes? Well, I guess we'll find out. That's coming up in a little bit. Fantasy football.
He would enjoy that a lot more if he watched Game of Thrones.
It's not in the notes.
It's not in the notes. Damn it. Okay. I'll have to find it.
I'll look for it.
A couple of defensive line injuries. I mentioned DeForest Buckner. He hurt his leg. Does not appear to be serious. And Dominique Easley tore his ACL. He's out for the year. That's a starting defensive tackle as of now for the Rams. So bad news for the LA teams with Forrest Lamp and Dominique Easley. I guess this means we can't have a team name I Love Lamp.
Well, you still can.
I got my first team name of the year.
What do you got?
Patrick is Mahomes.
Oh, I like that.
Clever. Thanks. Nice.
That's good stuff. All right, let's read some emails. Greg in Lexington, Kentucky. Dear Steve, Laura, Carl, and Eddie. Oh, come on. Really?
Is that Family Matters?
Yeah, it's Family Matters. Come on, y'all. There were some high expectations for some wide receivers who have had no buzz this year. What are your rankings, their ceilings, realistic expectations for Corey Coleman, Kevin White, and Josh Doctson? Coleman, White, and Doctson. I'll rephrase the question from Greg. Do you like any of them? Corey Coleman, Kevin White, Josh Doctson?
I'm in line with my whole pro Redskins stance. Doctson is somebody that I'm starting to look at late.
Yeah, I moved him up today, my rankings.
Especially if you get Pryor and or Crowder, you can do that. What was the name of that strategy that we came up with? The name of the strategy, something about someone, I don't remember.
Azer strategy. I Azer strategied in the 14-team league last week. It was Tuesday, right? I took Tyrell Williams after taking Keenan Allen. I love it.
I like Corey Coleman the most. Kevin White is very closely approaching DTM territory.
DTM?
Yes. It was an Al Melchior special. Dead to me.
You don't know what that means?
Dead to me.
Dead to me. Yeah.
Just it's funny because there was a report that his confidence was shaken, and then he was like, what? No.
Yeah. They had him.
He had to act confident.
They said they had him watching video of him in college to remind him he was good, and then he said he didn't do that.
Any truth to the rumor that the Bears are petitioning the NFL to just use that film and put him on the field as a hologram?
Yeah.
From technology. His days at West Virginia, and they use that as the receiver.
Technology these days. All right, this is from David. Where is he from?
David is from Boise, Idaho.
This is a great email. He says, first of all, I watched Don't Breathe last night. Way better than I expected. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's a good movie.
I mean, anytime
you're a regular Gene Siskel.
Anybody references something you like, they get their email right.
I like giving good recommendations. The two movies that I recommend the most are Prisoners and The Way, Way Back. If you ever need a movie to watch and you've never seen them, watch Prisoners and or The Way, Way Back. Very different
nope.
movies.
You recommend those more than Ghostbusters 2?
No. And by the way, did you realize, Jamie, that do you remember the music that Allie and I came into?
No.
The song? Was what's it called? Lifting Me Higher? Your Love Lifting Me Higher by Jackie Wilson from Ghostbusters 2?
I know 2? You wouldn't remember what was happening then, but I got stuck outside and I didn't want to walk in front of
oh,
you.
Oh, really? So I think I remember you. That. I do remember that, actually. Yeah, I came into the Ghostbusters 2 song, so that was cool. Anyway, here's the question from David in Boise.
Before you ask the question, according to the Miami Herald, it's at least a hyperextension for Tannehill and could have PCL damage. So we are trending in the wrong direction.
David says, our league determines draft order by the following. We each have a preseason team. The team with the NFL team with the most amount of points at the end of the preseason. Oh, actually, I don't know if it's NFL team or... Yeah, it is. The NFL team with the most amount of points at the end of the preseason gets to pick his draft slot. Second most points gets to choose after that, etc. Is there any way to predict which team will score a lot of points in the preseason?
I would say teams with a new coach where they're trying to appease a fan base might be asked to do more in their home games and in their last game than teams that have had a coach forever. And they're just going through the evaluation process. I would also consider teams that have, I'm going to say good second and third string quarterbacks, but really we're just talking about second and third string quarterbacks with experience who might be able to make something of the backup receivers and tight ends that they're working with against other backup defensive backs and safeties.
I would say the two teams that play tonight because they get to play five games.
Yeah. What do you do about tonight's game?
I'm guessing they don't count it.
They don't. Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I'm just saying, maybe your league mates haven't thought of that yet. Don't. I'd pick both of them.
Yeah, don't count those games. All right, an email from Dash. Where's Dash from?
Dash is from Glendale, Arizona.
Let's see if Dash is right. Longtime listener, first-time emailer, I have something for you. Adam, you seem like you'd be the most approachable out of the group when you actually leave the house. Dave, I like your opinions, but I can't trust the guy with two first names. Jamie, if you could compare your finger injury past to a player injury, who would it be? And then, Heath, you sound like a faster talking Lorne Michaels / Dr. Evil, but you are the wittiest of the group.
It's a great email, Dash. Great email. Great email.
Am I the most approachable?
I can't trust the guy who's named after, a grammar symbol.
Jamie's question would have been easier if you had read it. I think you may have stumped him with some random pauses in the middle of the question.
Okay, I got confused. Why don't you read it?
If you could compare your finger injury past to a player
injury,
who would it be? Like you've had to have multiple surgeries, maybe Sammy Watkins?
Good one.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Thank you.
Go ahead, punctuation boy.
Am I the most approachable in the group? I'd say no.
No one has ever hugged me, and you get hugged every time you get here, so I think that makes you approachable.
I don't think any of us are unapproachable.
Agreed.
I'm always looking at my phone. You don't want to walk up to somebody that's staring at their phone because you might interrupt them.
So you always looking at your phone.
Yeah.
It's true.
I not at my desk, but I walk around the office. I'm like, what am I going to look at? I'm walking around. Go to the bathroom? Look at my phone.
If you were to dress up as Heath this Halloween, you would have to have your phone staring down in this position.
Like when you go number one, is the phone in one hand?
That's really weird. You can't do that. You must put it in your
pocket.
That's
what
I'm saying. Standing at urinals.
Good for you, Heath. Good for you.
It is always impressive, though, when people are two hands with their phones while they're peeing.
Yeah. That's not okay either.
No, that wouldn't fly. Actually, it would kind of fly. Mark from the former Republic of Texas, 12-team half PPR league. Our league is leaving its diaper behind and switching to pull-ups. We are going to a $100 fab system. Would you find yourself taking a quarterback earlier in drafts to avoid streaming and spending that fab budget? How would you approach quarterback with a fab budget as opposed to waivers or free agency?
Very important question right off the top. Are $0 bids allowed? If they are, I think the streaming door is wide open. If they're not, then I would say the streaming door kind of closed.
Yeah, any fab league, I'm going to be less inclined to do the streaming because even if $0 bids are allowed, the best streamers each week are probably going to cost a little money.
Like a buck or two.
Yeah.
But some you can squeeze in for zero. And you can always plan ahead and get them for zero the week before you actually need them.
Mm, good point. Okay, guys. And finally, we have a question from Ed from a city in the Mountain Time Zone.
It's got to be Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Dear Eric, Stan, and Butters.
South Park?
Hey.
Yes. Keeper question. Half PPR, 12 teams. Zeke in the first round, 12th overall, or Ty Montgomery in the eighth round, 84th overall?
Does he know when he picks?
It's a half-point PPR.
Yeah, 12th overall for Zeke or 84th overall, first pick of the eighth round, I guess.
So he has the 12th pick.
Yeah, he has the 12th pick.
I'm keeping Zeke. Especially if you can keep him at that price forever. Jamie, your pinky. You finally, speaking of your finger, first time I've noticed it without anything on it. Looking good. Looking a little Frankenstein-y, but looking good.
I'm going Montgomery.
Yeah, I'd go Montgomery too.
You guys are crazy. What am I missing? I like Ty Montgomery.
It's the last pick of the eighth round. Yeah, 84th should not be in the eighth round.
84th is the first.
Yeah,
85th is the fifth pick of the is the first pick of the eighth round. Excuse me. Okay. 84th is the last pick of the seventh round.
Okay,
so it's a seventh round pick.
But it's the same pick. It's a swing pick.
Yeah. Semantics.
If I can have Ty Montgomery and LaShawn McCoy and Jordy or...
Well, you got to take into account keepers.
So. Yeah, keepers.
Well, how many keepers are we talking about? Probably one.
Well, if he's got Ty Montgomery at eighth round value, I'm sure somebody's keeping Michael Thomas with a double-digit round value. I'm sure there's probably an Ajayi keeper that's double-digit round value. So, yeah, maybe he gets McCoy and Jordy, but...
But either way, two really good players with Montgomery.
You've got a huge difference maker with Ezekiel Elliott. I can't let him go.
I'm always going to lean toward value, and the value for Montgomery is good.
All right, guys. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Dave, Jamie, and Heath will rock your world tomorrow with some rankings, risers, and followers, a little Tom Brady talk, Dynasty League talk. That's huge.
Yep, we'll do that. And just wanted to remind you, Adam, that Fab starts tomorrow in our Dynasty League.
Okay, good. I will spam. You have me on an email list in a league I'm not in. I will spam it twice a day until I'm off, and you will hate me for it. And
you've only done it once today.
You know what, though? There is such a better chance of you forgetting to spam the league twice a day.
It's true. I already have.
So far today.
But you just reminded me, so here we go.
And nobody cares.
You care.
The only person who cares about stuff like that is you.
It'll get annoying.
You are the guy that set up a league with an open email system to where 750 people got 300 emails.
1,400 people got those emails, and I wasn't sure how to take those
off. And you're complaining about our league because you're getting too many emails.
Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.